I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. These words are taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 6. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, today we celebrate one of the many glorious feasts of our divine Savior. The Feast of Corpus Christi, or the Feast of the Body of Christ, is the day that specially honors the Blessed Sacrament. The feast was instituted in the latter part of the 13th century, and it was instituted at the insistence of a holy nun from Belgium named Saint Juliana. Around the year 1258, our Divine Savior appeared to Saint Juliana, and he revealed to her that the church calendar was lacking a feast in honor of the Blessed Sacrament. Our Lord then commissioned her to announce to the hierarchy of the church that he wished that such a feast be established. Pope Urban IV approved the Feast of Corpus Christi in 1264, and he commissioned the great St. Thomas Aquinas to compose the Mass and the Divine Office for this feast. And since that time, people from all backgrounds have shown their devotion to the Holy Eucharist by attending Mass and Adoration, as well as by taking part in Eucharistic processions and other forms of piety. For centuries, men and women and children have honored and loved our Divine Savior in the Blessed Sacrament, and some have done this even to the point of dying for the Holy Eucharist. One of these was a little girl, about 11 years old or so. She lived in China in the late 1940s, early 1950s, during the communist takeover under Mao Zedong. And one morning while she was praying in the back of her village church, a band of communist soldiers invaded the village. The priest was arrested and beaten by the soldiers, who then locked him in the rectory, which is the little house attached to the church. The communists then proceeded to destroy the inside of the church, flipping over pews, smashing statues, breaking the stained glass windows, tearing apart the sacred books. They even broke open the tabernacle, and they scattered the sacred hosts all over the floor and trampled them. But as they did this, unknown to them, at the back of the church was this little girl, and she was watching all of this. She didn't flee. She simply hid. And then when the time was right, she did make her escape and ran away. Well, that very night, the priest, who was imprisoned in the rectory, was looking out his window into the chapel. He could see the altar through the broken church windows, and he saw the sacred hosts lying on the floor of the sanctuary. The sanctuary is this area of the chapel in front of the communion rail closest to the altar. And as he looked at the hosts and he adored his Lord and Savior, he noticed something else. He saw a child sneaking past the communist guards and into the church. It was that little girl. The priest watched as she made her way up to the altar and knelt before the sacred hosts on the floor. There she made a holy hour in silent prayer, and then bending low, she received a host off the ground with her tongue. You see, she knew that the laity are not allowed to touch the Holy Eucharist. And she also remembered from her catechism that we can only receive Holy Communion one time each day. And so she received one host with her tongue, and then she got up, and she quietly left the church. There were 32 hosts on the ground. And so this little girl did this every night for weeks and weeks. She would sneak into the church, secretly approach the altar, make a holy hour, and then receive Holy Communion. When there was one host left, she returned for the last time. After receiving the host as she had done every day for the past few weeks, she stood up and she began making her way out of the church. But on her way out, she accidentally knocked something over, and she was discovered by the soldiers. She attempted to run, but the soldiers seized the little girl, and they began beating her with their rifles until at length she died. A true martyr of the Holy Eucharist. But what faith she had. How she loved the Eucharistic heart of Christ. And what an example. What an example for us. I mean, when you really think about it, she witnessed a terrible sacrilege against the Blessed Sacrament. She saw those soldiers break open the tabernacle, throw the sacred hosts upon the ground, and began trampling them. And so she did what she could to protect the Holy Eucharist, to show our Divine Savior that there was someone who loved him. Are we, my dear friends, not seeing something similar today? Are we not witnessing a certain profanation of the Blessed Sacrament today? According to a survey taken in 2019, 69% of so-called Catholics do not believe in the real presence of Christ. Instead, they believe that the bread and wine are just symbols. Only 31%, or one-third, believe in transubstantiation. Only 31%, or about 3 out of every 10 people who call themselves Catholics, believe that at the consecration in the Mass, the bread is substantially changed into the body of Christ, and the wine is substantially changed into his blood. Only the appearances of bread and wine remain. This is one of the central truths of our holy faith. And only 3 out of 10 people who call themselves Catholic believe it. Add to this the disrespectful handling and treatment of what many in the new church consider to be the Blessed Sacrament, and you have something not so different from what those communist soldiers did. The belief in Christ's Eucharistic presence is being trampled on today. And so the question is this: what will we do about it? What can we do about it? How can we make up for the hatred and for the disrespect that is shown to our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament today? How can we, like that little girl, show him that there are still some people who care for him? We can do what she did. We can strive to receive Holy Communion as often as possible and with more love and reverence each time. That's how we can make up for the insults against the Blessed Sacrament today. That's what we can do. And while it does seem all too simple, it is, in fact, an all-too-powerful way of making reparation to our Divine Savior. By the very fact that we are here this evening, my dear friends, that shows that we are devoted to the Holy Eucharist. Our being here tonight shows our Divine Savior that we care about him. But still, we have a fallen human nature. And because of that, it can be so easy for us to lose our fervor and to receive Holy Communion with little devotion. One priest writes that many receive Holy Communion out of routine, in haste, with willful distraction, and without even the slightest thought about what they are doing. And thus, he writes, they do our Divine Savior a great disservice, and not only to him, but to themselves also. For they fail to gain all the graces offered to them, this priest writes, in each Holy Communion because of their poor dispositions. If in the past we've had a tendency to this, if in the past we've received Holy Communion out of routine, in haste, with willful distraction or thoughtlessly, Let's resolve today to have a greater appreciation for what we have in the Holy Eucharist and to strive to receive Holy Communion better each time. Let's do this by praying for the grace always to make a good communion. And then let's do this in a very practical way, by asking ourselves a very simple question each time we're going to receive. That question is why? Why am I going to receive Holy Communion? Is it because that's what everyone else does? Is it because, well, that's what we do at this time of Mass? We go receive Holy Communion. Is it because I'll look bad if I don't receive? Or is it because I love Him? Because I want to be closely united to Him? Because I want to tell Him heart to heart that I'm sorry for my sins, to thank Him for all the graces He has bestowed upon me and my family, to talk to Him about my troubles, my worries, my concerns, because I want to ask Him for the help I need to persevere in this world and for the grace and strength I need to avoid all mortal sin and its occasions. Why am I going to receive Holy Communion? That's the question. That's the question we should ask ourselves at each Mass before we approach the communion rail, because that's the question that will put us in the proper frame of mind to receive our divine Savior. And if we, my dear friends, can answer this question how it ought to be answered, we can be confident that we are receiving our Lord with the love He deserves, and that He, for His part, will assist us and our families with the graces we need to save our souls, as He promised He would. For He Himself said, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever." God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.